The third Aliyah of Parshas Kedeshim opens up with arrival in the Holy Land of Israel. And specifically, we speak about fruits. Chapter 19, verse 23, V'chi soveyo el ha'aretz. So when you're going to come to the land? V'netatem kol eitz machol. You will plant all kinds of fruit-bearing trees. Edible fruit. V'araltem arlosay espirye. You will block the fruit. Block it off from you. For shalei shana, for 3 years. Yilachem arelim. The fruit should be blocked off. Loy ye ochel, you shall not consume it. Which ultimately means can't benefit from it. Not only edible prohibition, but a prohibition in benefiting from the fruit in any way, shape, or form. So Rashi doesn't really say anything. He doesn't say anything. He says a little bit about the technicalities of it. He doesn't speak about the coming to Israel and what is the reason and the meaning behind this. He just says this is a clearly an Eretz Yisrael-oriented kind of mitzvah. And what is the mitzvah? Va'araltem arlasei. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Va'araltem arlasei. Says Rashi, va'atamtem atimasei. You'll block it off. Its blockage will be blocked. Or its produce will be blocked. Yehei otum v'nistam eloharen sumenu. It means that it will be in your eyes as if it's blocked from you. In other words, it's not really blocked. The fruit is fruit and it's visible. But it will be as if it's blocked off from you. You have to make it as if. You have to block it off. You have to like separate it from your life. And how long is that? That's shalish shanim yiyo lechem arelim. For 3 years it'll be blocked. So Rashi says, okay, 3 years. Me'ema saimoinale. When do you start counting these 3 years? Is it mishas netiyase? Is it for the time of planting? Or not? Or maybe it's a time when it starts to bear fruit. So yochel, I might say that since this is a prohibition that lasts for 3 years, so im hitznioi, if you would cut off fruit and squirrel it away, la'acha shaloshanim, it's only prohibited during those 3 years. Yehei mutter, after the 3 years passes by, then if you manage to cure the fruit and the fruit is around, then you can use it. It's only during those 3 years that you're not allowed to use it. Talmud Leimar, the verse comes to teach me, yihyeh. Yihyeh means it remains blocked. Bahavi yosai, it remains blocked. So we got the upshot as you come to the land of Israel. For 3 years, 3 years of fruit bearing, whatever the tree bears has to be blocked off. You don't use it in any way, shape, or form. Fruit is born in those 3 years. The first three crops, the crops are blocked off. We may not benefit in any way, shape, or form. So why is this? Why is it? Rashi, of course, doesn't talk about why. He doesn't deal with things like that of time you have mitzvahs. The Ibn Ezra has this long rumination where he suggests that the reason that we don't utilize the fruit, we don't benefit from the fruit during the first 3 years, he says that in the first 3 years, the fruit is still filled with toxins or imperfections. And because that's the case, if you would benefit from it or use it, it would not be of great use to you. In fact, it could be harmful to you. We have no scientific evidence, to the best of my knowledge, that backs this up, but that's what Ibn Ezra says. The Ramban says that, as a rule, the first couple of crops are stunted. And even if it produces fruit, the fruit is not well produced. And therefore, the first time you get really decent fruit is the fourth year, the fourth crop. Okay, so what? So here's the point. Ramban says, we have a mitzvah called Bikurim. You work hard, you toil, you put all the effort in, finally this blossoms. Finally, you're able to see the fruits of your labors. What do you do with the first fruit? The first time you're able to finally benefit, what do you do with that? Hashem, because it's not really ours. Everything is from God. So he says, okay, so in the case of the tree, forget if it will be damaging, won't be damaging. Let's put that aside for a moment. If the first couple of crops are not really good crops, then you have to start off the cycle by dedicating it to Hashem. So what would you bring to Hashem? Stunted crops? Imperfect crops? The tree is still kind of getting its stuff together, so the crops aren't coming out right. So if the crops aren't coming out right, if you take the first year's crops and bring that to the base of Mikdash, that will be an embarrassment. This you bring as a korban. This is a gift. Second year, third year, fourth year. Now we're talking. Good. So then the fourth year's crops have to be brought to Hashem. And then once you take the fourth year's crops and bring it to Yerushalayim, which means it's given to the Kohen and the Kohen consumes it, and you use the opportunity to thank Hashem, oh, now you've crossed the threshold. Now you can use your fruit. Now you can enjoy your tree. And that's how we go from verse 23 into verse 24. Vashona harevi'is. In the fourth year, says Ramban, yiyeh kol piryei kodesh ilulam Hashem. Then the fourth year will be designated as a sacred fruit, be set aside and used for the purpose of hilulim, of thanksgiving towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kli Yakar has a very interesting rumination on this whole business of the 3 years and the fourth year. He says that this is also a reflection of creation itself. So when God created the world, there was no vegetation for the first 3 days. The first day was Yihi'ar. Then there was, after God creates light, he creates a firmament, an atmosphere. And then after he creates an atmosphere, he creates dry land. And then only on the third day do we start to get some kind of vegetation. However, we're told that where was all the vegetation that God created on the third day? It was inside the earth. On the surface of the earth, you didn't see anything. It was only on the fourth day that the trees actually grew. Only on the fourth day did the vegetation appear. I says, and then that fourth day when God was busy with the stratosphere, putting all the stars and planets in place and getting all the orbits going, nobody was using those fruits. So when was the first time somebody actually began to use the fruit? On the fifth day of creation, there were some animals created. The animals got hungry. They ate fruit. So he says, until the fifth year, nobody really ate any fruit. And he says, the Kli Yakar therefore says, this is a reflection of creation itself. At any rate, however you choose to look at it, which prism of Torah, for whether you look at it in Ramban's way, that this is about bringing the finest and the best to God, and for that you have to wait 3 years, and only on the fourth year could you bring it, or if you look at it through the notion that this is reflective of creation itself, the bottom line is that the fourth year's fruit have to be brought as Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. Rashi says, what does this mean? Yiyeh kol piryei kodesh. All of its fruit should be holy. What does holy fruit look like? So Rashi says, holy fruit is kemaiser sheni. It's like the second tithe. Shekosov bai, it says about the second tithe, and we'll actually be reading about this at length in the book of Deuteronomy, but here in a couple of chapters in Leviticus as well, that we read about this maiser sheni, the second tithe, that it has to be brought, all of the tithes, which is referring to the second tithe, will be kodesh l'Hashem, will be sanctified or sacred unto God. And what do you do with it? So ma maiser sheni in echel chutz l'chaymes Yerushalayim el b'pidyon, just as maiser sheni cannot be eaten outside the gates, the precincts of Jerusalem, the holy city. What does it mean, holy? Holy means that it's a place designated for mitzvahs. So certain mitzvahs can only be done within the walls, within the precincts of that particular area, because it's the holy city. So this notion of holy fruit means like holy produce that has to be eaten inside the walls of Yerushalayim. And the only way that can be superseded is bepidyon, if you redeem the fruit. So you can redeem the fruit, because some foods, it's not going to last. Avzeh kain, same two here as well. V'davar zeh, and this business that the fruit or its value will be brought to Yerushalayim, hilulim l'Hashem hu. This is an opportunity to sing God's praises. Shenoisa isham, you become inspired and you carry the fruit there. L'shabeach u'lahalel l'shamayim, to praise and to thank to heaven. Ibn Ezra says, hilulim means l'halel Hashem, to thank Hashem. And then, what do you do with the fruit? V'hakoyen yeichlano, the Kohenim eat it. So Rashi tells us it's like Maaser Sheni, but really it's not like Maaser Sheni, because who eats Maaser Sheni? We, the regular people, eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, but regular people eat it, not these fruits. These fruits are sung over. Hashem's praises are offered over the fruit, and then the fruit themselves is consumed by the Kohen. And then comes the fifth year. Uvashana chamishis, and on the fifth year, teichlo es piryei, as they say in French, es gesundheit, eat. You can eat your fruit now. Lahaysef lachem, so that it might be added to you tvuasay to its produce. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. This is a funny verse. It's a funny verse because it starts off ubashana chamishis in the fifth year. All right, teichlu is period. You can eat the fruit. I would have stopped it right there because that's what you could do. In the fifth year, you can eat the fruit. The Torah says no. You can eat the fruit, but when you eat that fruit, lahoisiv lachem, that's to bring you more fruit. Eat up so you can get seconds. Eat up the fruit so you can get more fruit. I am God. Wow, I'm glad you're God. What does that have to do with me eating fruit? And what does that have to do with me getting more fruit? So Rashi says that the words lahoisiv lachem tvuasay are not part of the mitzvah, but rather Hashem is promising a reward for doing this mitzvah. It is to say, HaMitzvah HaZeh, says Rashi, SheTishmeru, this mitzvah that if you keep it, Tiyah, that it will be for you, LaHaysev Lachem Tevaseh. I promise you, God says, you keep this mitzvah, I will make sure you will have abundant produce. I will add to your produce. I will add to your harvest. What's the point? The point is this. Shebischara, it's in reward of doing this mitzvah, ani mevarech lachem peiros hanatiyah, that I will bless the fruits. Okay, why are we getting blessed? So we blocked the fruit off, so we didn't eat the fruit. For this we get blessed. We didn't even do anything. It's just omission. We omitted this from our life. Hoye Rabbi Akiva Omer. So the great Rabbi Akiva said, here the Torah is dibra kineged yetzahara. The Torah speaks to the yetzahara. God knows we have a yetzahara. He created it for us. And he knows the Yetzirah is not happy. The farmer worked real hard, and the tree is blossoming. The fruits are growing. It's blocked. Another year blocked. A third year blocked. Fourth year, I get some fruit. Not for you. I'm bringing that to Yerushalayim. The Yetzirah is like, enough already? You think I could have something too? I mean, isn't it my farm? So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, we know. The Yetzirah is going to get the better of you. A person shouldn't say, 4 years I'm killing myself. 4 years, this is so painful for me to watch my crops rot in the field and then run off to Yerushalayim. And I say, when do I get to eat? So Hashem says to you, relax. I know you're a little frustrated. This was tough for you. But you should know, lefikach. Therefore, I'm telling you, so when the Yetzirah gives you a heart, you tell the Yetzirah, be quiet. Don't you want to get more fruit? This is going to bring your fruit. Oh, this brings harvest. Yeah, this brings the harvest. Okay, fine. This brings the harvest, so the Yetzirah feels better. And the Torah does that sometimes. So what does that have to do with me being God? It says Rashi, Ani Hashem ha-maftiach al-kach. I am God who makes the promise. And that is to say, V'ne'emon lishmon avtachasi. If I'm God and you believe in me, don't you think I can keep my word? So God says, take a chill pill. Relax. Don't get all frustrated and bent out of shape. I promise. I'm promising, you believe in me, leave it to me. The suffering, quote unquote, that you had, the pain, the anguish, the deprivation of blocking the fruit off, and then finally bringing it and giving it away, in the end, it'll work out for the very best. And that, my dear friends, is the cycle of fruit in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. And here, the Tarsha turns to an entirely different subject. Before we go on to our daily schedule, I'm going to share with you a beautiful lesson that the Rebbe lifted from this parsha, and specifically from the fruit that can be a lesson for our daily life. So I'm going to ask you to join me on page Resh Pehe. This is Simen Tes. No, sorry, Resh Pe Zayin. Simen Tes Zayin. That would be the equivalent of page 287, and the 16th entry in Parshas Kedeshim goes as follows. We have here, we learned about Shalosha Shlovim. We learned about three segments in the fruit's life, in the fruits, the fruity cycle. We have segment A, Shalosh Shnais Arla, 3 years in which the fruit is blocked off. Can't use it, can't benefit, hands off. Then we have segment two, Hashana Haravis, the fourth year. And that's the fruit's being used as a vehicle through which we express our gratitude towards Hashem. And when we have the attitude of gratitude and sing His praises, then we're set up. This is the way the tree's life begins. And our experience with it for maybe the next 100 years, maybe 200 years, from the tree will be producing fruit on an annual basis and we'll be harvesting. Started off right. by expressing our appreciation. And then we have Shana HaChamish, the fifth year, which the fifth year could be the 50th year, could be the 100th year, the fifth year, the regular, the life of the tree, until the tree just gets too old and starts producing fruit. So the Rebbe suggests that this is also in parallel to Shalosh Shlavim Avedas Hashem, to three segments in the Jew's service to Hashem, B'chol Yom V'Yom, every day of life. Every day of life, you go through the fruity cycle. Okay, how does it start? How should your day start as a Torah Jew? Tchilas HaAvedi HaAvedas HaTfilah. The first thing we should be doing is prayer. That's what it's about. He wakes up in the morning, everybody else is going to the gym, watching breakfast television, eating, chilling, I don't know, whatever people do in the morning. What does a Yid do? A Yid comes to shul. Should you get a daven? That's the proper thing. If a Yid can come to shul, wherever he or she is, they should be davening in the morning. We study Torah to get us into the frame of mind, so davening isn't still when we're half asleep. But it's all about prayers. The first thing a Yid, the foundation of a day is prayers. The morning is ikra of tefillah. What's the main part of tefillah? All of tefillah, all of prayer builds towards a crescendo, a climax. When is that? That's the Amida. That's the Shmon Esrei. And when we're davening Shmon Esrei, how do we feel before Hashem? Or how should we feel?
Humbled.
Very humbled. Super humbled. So humbled that it's called his batlos mochletas. We're in a state of absolute nullity before God. We're so humbled, we don't even open our mouth. The quietest time in the morning, when we're davening Shmon Esrei. If you ever been to the Kotel, people do have vasikin, when everybody davens together, the morning Shmon Esrei, the sun rises. It's a noisy place, the Kotel. And then all of a sudden, at the moment when the sun's about to rise, a hush. Everybody's quiet. It's prayer, talking to God. Talk to God, but in a very humble way, a very quiet way. The expression in the Gemara is avdo kamei mora, like a servant before the master. Not a time for self-expression. Not even for holy self-expression. Not even for pouring one's heart forth in prayer. Quiet. You're not supposed to be connected around you. You're not supposed to daven Shmon Esrei. Looking here. Oh, look at that. That's interesting. Here. A lot of times people daven Shmon Esrei. Even if they're not doing this in their mind, they're going all over the world. That's actually not appropriate. You're supposed to work on focusing. The Rebbe taught us that the way to do that is look inside the Siddur. Focus on the words of the Siddur. But Shmon Esrei is supposed to be a focused time. Shmon Esrei is not the best time to think of stock tips and how I should deal with a certain problem. So Shmon Esrei is when I cut myself, I block out the world. I'm not going to engage. It's de-engagement from the world. That's what it's supposed to be. So the Rebbe says that kind of mirrors the first 3 years of the fruit's life. Blocked off. Take the world, block it off. Not connected. Shmon Esrei is about disconnecting from the things that populate and fill our time on a daily basis. And then, after davening, a person is supposed to first study a little bit of Torah, study some halachas, read some tillim. You're supposed to wean yourself away from prayer, not just hit the road as hard as the rubber can, but rather, a person is supposed to do whatever it takes to kind of ease themselves from the prayerful mode into a Torah study mode. Which the Rebbe says, proverbially speaking, means about connecting with your environment. Now, b'shlavze, at this point in your day, you're isik ben yanim shel Torah mitzvahs, you're still in shul, you're doing all good things, but you're still connected to the world around you. If you're learning halachas, you're talking about, okay, here's how the halacha applies to the world around me. This is kind of in parallel to Shana HaRaviyas, to the fourth year. You're eating the fruit, but how do you eat the fruit in a holy way? Kohanim are eating fruit. You're singing Hashem's praises over the fruit. So it's not blocked off, but at the same time, it's not exactly every day. It's not mundane yet. Then only after this, we have the third segment. The person gets ready to go out. He gets involved in everyday life. And the life of the tree, well, that could be a long life of the tree. You have a whole long day ahead of you. And during this long day ahead of you, a yid has the koyach to take in yoni reshus, elective areas of life, and harness and channel them in a holy way, which this is b'dem l'shnas ha-chamishis, this is in the mirror image of the fifth year and onward, shebo ha-peirisim chulin, from this point onward, the fruit are yours for the taking and enjoying. And so the fruit is not only a reflection of creation, as is Kliyakar tells us, but the fruit is the roadmap for us on a daily basis.
So we should have a fruitful day.
And so let's wish everybody a very fruitful day.